Our scripture reading for today is taken from 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. The end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. In May of 1945, World War II was winding down as the Allied forces pressed in on Berlin from the Western Front and as Soviet forces pressed in on Berlin from the Eastern Front. One of the big questions was who would reach Berlin first. Adolf Hitler realized it was all coming to an end and committed suicide. About 2.5 weeks later, his regime finally was toppled. Many of his other generals and his aides had also committed suicide by this time. But it took a good 3 weeks, almost a month, for the prisoner of war camps to receive the news that the war was now over. There were about 100,000 American soldiers being held in roughly 100 POW camps in Germany at that time. And you can imagine what this was like for them. But the news had started to creep back to these prisoners of war camps, and people had started to hear that Hitler was dead, that many of the generals had died, that forces were now taking hold of Berlin. And so they knew that their freedom was coming very soon. In fact, some of the soldiers who were being held as prisoners of war talked about that the German soldiers who were still holding them, and by the way, there were still prisoners coming into the prison once in a while, but the German soldiers that were holding them would even take bets on what actual day that the whole camp that they were in would be taken over. And they were even betting with the American soldiers when that would happen. Just imagine what a strange time that was. Here you are still in a prisoner of war camp. You know the war has ended, and you know that the enemy's already been defeated, and yet you're still there being held against your will. They claim that as Allied bombers flew overhead, that American soldiers out in the compound of these prisoner of war camps would go out and cheer, and they started singing many of the great war songs that they had heard from the past. The Yanks are coming, the Yanks are coming. They would sing the national anthem together in their barracks, even though they were still prisoners of war, but they were so excited because they knew it was all going to be coming to an end, and they knew they'd already won. They knew that the war was already over. What a picture of God's holy Christian church in this world and in this life. Here we sit. We're still held prison in this prison that has sin and death in it. We still have to look forward to dying. We still have to deal with the problems and the troubles of the enemies against us of our faith, our own sinful flesh and the world around us, the culture that hates us, the devil himself who tries to find ways to destroy us. And yet here we sit as the children of God through faith in Christ as our Savior, absolutely convinced that the war is already won. It's already over. The victory took place 2,000 years ago when our Lord Jesus spread out his arms on the cross and said, "It is finished." And he paid for every one of your sins entirely by his blood. And then he went into a cold grave and 3 days later came back to life and rose back to life from the dead. Death has now been swallowed up in victory. It's already over. The war is done. Our enemies have all been defeated, absolutely every one of them, because of Christ, because of the great warrior that we have on our side. We have victory over our graves, over our sin, over the power of the devil. We have the hope of everlasting life. We cannot wait to be emancipated. We cannot wait to be taken out of this wicked world, finally to our wonderful home in heaven, back to our fatherland where we've never lived, and yet where all of us belong by faith in Christ. And so the Holy Christian Church gathers together, even as we just did, to start singing, to sing constantly the hymns of our fatherland, to sing together, to support one another, to encourage one another. There's even though we live in this prisoner of war camp still, we know it's all coming to an end, and we can be joyful, we can be happy, and we can look forward to the day when our fellow soldiers from heaven finally arrive at the gates to open them up and to let us free so we can sense our freedom. So, it hasn't happened yet. Just like those men waiting in their barracks, maybe for weeks. Some of them had to wait for months until the actual liberation came. So what do we do in the meantime? What should it be like for us? How should you and I go about our lives while we wait? Peter tells us, first of all, be watchful and prayerful. Don't lose sight of what's coming. Don't lose sight of what life is really about and what's really going to happen for all of us. Don't let the concerns and the troubles of right now being in the prisoner of war camp overwhelm you. And don't let the fun and the joys that you might enjoy, even here in this world, start to steal your heart away from your Savior. Patiently wait for your liberator to arrive. When Jesus, our Lord, ascended into heaven to go and make a place for each one of us, his disciples watched as he went up through the clouds and ascended above them. What a sight that must have been. And yet it didn't take long for their eyes to come back down from that and to look back at the earth at all the things that they had to go now and do on his behalf and for his kingdom. But they never kept their spiritual eyes off of the ascension. Likewise for you and me, let us never take our spiritual eyes off of our ascended Christ, who's coming back in glory someday, and every eye will see him, the scriptures say. But in the meantime, with our earthly eyes, let us also look at the things in our lives and go about our duties and our work, thoughtful of the fact that our Lord Jesus is coming back. Peter says also, be hospitable to one another. Have a fervent love for one another. Fellow Christians, taking care of each other. He says, love will cover a multitude of sins. You can imagine those prisoners of war as they were waiting and were so excited, knowing that the end was coming. How they probably were happy and joyful with one another. And maybe once in a while one of them was still kind of sad and depressed. How they probably turned to each other and lifted each other's spirits with the fact that we're going to be out of here very soon. That's how the believers in Christ, in the army of God's believers, likewise support each other. He goes on. Peter says, minister to one another according to the gifts that you've been given. He says, if anyone speaks, that means if you address somebody in spiritual matters, whether that's preaching from a pulpit, whether that's encouraging somebody in your dorm room, if anyone speaks, he says, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let him speak as if God himself was the one talking through you to that person, because nothing else ultimately will benefit anybody. And continue to join together and sing about our homeland. A Norwegian pastor back in the 1800s said this about believers in Christ. Christ has put you together in his church to serve one another, and then I like this, and to further each other's salvation. That's a great line. Do you ever think about that? That we're here to further each other's salvation? We're here to further that? That through our prayers and our support and our encouragement to each other and just simple things like inviting people to church, we encourage each other in that faith. What a wonderful thing. St. Paul says the same thing to us. Encourage one another all the more, he says, as you see the day approaching. The fact that Christ is coming back should make that work even more top of our minds. On the day that the liberation finally came for many of those soldiers, General Eisenhower of the United States, the head of the Allied troops, drove in with his jeep to a number of these POW compounds. And one of the prisoners of war remembers that day, and he said about it, "I had never been so happy to see someone in my entire life." Just think of the joy that we're going to have when we see our Lord return, the glorious Savior who's paid for our sins and promises us life in heaven. Just think what that day will be like. Live for that day. Amen. Please rise. Please turn to page 165 in the front part of your hymn book. Page 165, where we use one of the ancient collects of the church, which is prayer number 133. Please join me. O God, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that being ever mindful of the end of all things and the day of your last judgment, we may be stirred up to holiness of living here and dwell with you forever hereafter. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.